Welcome to the Lorehounds, your guides to alien megafauna mating. I'm John, and if I'm not looking at you, it's because I'm monitoring the perimeter.
Hi, I'm Alicia, and after watching Complementary Species, episode 7 of Apple TV Plus's Murderbot, I just want to say, we can talk about this. We can talk about this. We can talk about this.
Why do you all keep saying that? That is true, though. Like, have you ever, like, walked into a friend group that is already established and they have some inside joke? You're like, why are you saying that? Like, wait, yeah. I don't know what's going on.
I feel like Garathan often feels like that with this group, too, though.
Yeah, and now we know why. I mean, I thought that was a great scene. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Spoilers for the first 7 episodes. We've not watched anything ahead. We've done some of the reading, I think the first novella each, and you a little bit beyond that. But no spoilers for anything that hasn't happened in the show. And honestly, I think we're pretty far off the beaten path of the books at this point anyway.
I mean, yeah, I think going back to the base, we're getting back to it. There's only 3 episodes left. But yeah, indeed, like, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen in the books that they've added to the show, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you want to give us the details and then your hot take?
Sure. So this Complementary Species episode 7 was back to 23 minutes again, but I thought well used. Again, written by Paul and Chris Weitz, directed by Roseanne Liang, who, by the way, directed the Spirit Realm episodes of the live action, the Avatar The Last Airbender, which I personally like that season. I know not everyone feels the same, but I really enjoyed it, and those episodes in particular.
Okay. I have not gone back to watch that. I missed it, so I'll take your word.
I quite like this one. I wrote here new favorite so far. I don't know if I like it even better than last week, although it may be, especially the first time I watched it, made me laugh even more. What did you think of this week's?
I liked it a lot. I think I still prefer last week if I'm going to pick a favorite episode. Mm-hmm. But I did really like it. I love the way that they flesh out Garathan, especially. Mm-hmm. I feel like I understand him a lot more now, and I understand why he's so just salty about everything that Preservation Ox does. he's like, I know the dark side of all this. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard way to be, right? And this is someone who has overcome severe depression and severe addiction, and that's always going to be a part of your calculus going forward.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting in this episode how, you know, we have the characters reeling from the fact that Murderbot exploded Libby's head last episode. and even though they are the most suspicious, Garathan and Pin Lee, when it comes down to it, you know, where the others are like, how could they have killed Libby? I'm sure she was good inside. They are the two who are the first, like, well, I don't know. She seems like she was ready to get rid of us. So they kind of, in a way, although they're the most suspicious of Murderbot, they also understand him the best. I love the details of the dynamics of this team like that. And some of that, a lot of that is added from the book, especially with the Pin Lee perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think there would have been a debate maybe if Libby or Libby would not have shot Garathan's leg already. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she did, I think shows that she was serious and she would have killed them.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference between shooting someone in the knee and shooting them in the head. But
sure, but do you want to gamble on that?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I would have been less quick to kill personally, but I also I didn't see anything from her that made me think that she was coming around. You know, I'm not going to advocate for her redemption the way I did for Cyril from Andor, for instance. Especially,
well, I wasn't advocating for Cyril at all. So maybe we just have different scales of mercy here.
I was thinking about, like, because I asked in the last episode when she, you know, was weirdly holding Bardwaj's hand and kissed it. And I was thinking, what was that about? And I realized, I think it was because Bardwaj was just handling those mineral samples that Libby kept asking questions about. And so she was, like, trying to pick up some traces to test somewhere, I think. That's my assumption. So I wonder it goes back to my question of like how much information was she able to send back before her head got exploded?
Yeah. I guess we'll find out soon. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of this episode. I'd say let's go right into the discussion because there's plenty of things I want to say, but I don't want to jumble it all together.
So I did really love the cold open. Also, a sweet and bitter dinner. 1 month before the show's current timeline, the Preservation Ox team were out to dinner at Port Commerce to kick off their trip. We open with them playing a game of sweet and bitter. It's Bard Waj's turn, and she tells a story of how Pinley came to support her at a presentation, and Bard Waj misinterpreted it at a lecture, I should say, and Bard Waj misinterpreted it and made a pass at Pinley. Water under the bridge, Pinley says, or I think it's, we can talk about this, that's right. And then the table turns to pressuring Garothan to play. He makes his about Mensa. He tells a story of how he was sent as a spy by the Corporation Rim, addicted and close to ending his own life, how he confided all this in Mensa, who was supposed to be his target, and she forgave him and took him in and gave him a new life anyway. But he can't say anything negative about her in front of the crowd, and he retreats to the edge of the restaurant. Mensa follows, and they have a private conversation where the Garothan tells her his only critique is that she may be too trusting. So why did you like this scene so much?
Well, one, I loved when he goes, well, maybe I'm a little naive too, because that reminded me so much of Tolkien's writing about his son saying, like, he's a curmudgeon, and he's so stubborn, and he's exactly like me. And it's so true. Like, we see the flaws that are in us more acutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really liked that, you know, Garothan. I mean, when he confessed to Mensa, I mean, that's arguably a naive move, right? When he had confessed that he was trying to target her, like he could have just been thrown right in prison.
Right.
But also it's sometimes you have to submit a little bit to surrender, I should say. You know, it's like Sidar. You have to surrender to the power to control it.
Right. Right. Although, like Sidine, sometimes you have to wrestle it to the ground.
That's right. That's right.
That's what Garothan would say, I guess.
That's right. But I really love that part. I think that's a great character moment. And I really like seeing that these people are allies, but they're not besties. You know what I mean? Like, they are not fully together. And that makes sense when later they're debating what to do with SecUnit, if they can trust SecUnit. And they can't agree. And there's not a, they do have a baseline of trust, and this scene helps set that baseline, but they're not fully, they don't fully know each other's history yet.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, I guess even if, what is it, at what point are you such besties that you don't argue over details like that when things get tense? I don't know.
That's true.
I feels like Garothan, you know, at this point, we've been told that he was on Preservation Alliance like almost 5 years. But it seems like he is still clearly learning the social rituals. So it makes me wonder how long, I mean, they're a crew of friends, but there's romantic complications, obviously, there. And everyone's into Pinley, by the way, which, okay. I did not get that from Bard Waj at all, but I guess Bard Waj just felt supported in that moment. Anyway, but yeah, how long have the rest of them known each other? Like, how long has Preservation Alliance existed? Has it been around for generations already, or is it newer than that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't even think about that. It could be a very new thing, and Corporation, what is it? What are they called?
The Corporation Rim.
Corporation Rim, sure. Yeah. So the Corporation Rim is like, yeah, let's get rid of this while we can.
Yeah. Yeah. We find out Corporation Rim was sending Garothan to get some dirt for blackmail. And the plan is to keep non-Corporation Rim entities divided. So basically they don't want the rest of the galaxy to team up against Corporation Rim.
Yeah. I think that's probably right.
So they can dominate.
They don't like to share power once they, you know, who would have thought capitalism breeds power-hungry governments?
So Corporation Rim got Garothan addicted to exotic substances to force him to spy, which is funny because it's reminding me of, we were just talking about French Connection too. But anyway, what addiction in your life do you think that Corporation Rim could use to control you, like coffee or TV or something else?
I think I've shown that I can... I can defeat coffee because I didn't have coffee for like 6 months.
Right.
But I don't know. I cycle through addiction. So I think I'm honestly resilient because I cycle through addiction. And I'm like, I lost interest in that.
I don't know. Maybe for me, it'd be like internet or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like scrolling, endless scrolling. That's a good addiction.
Yeah, for me, it's I'm trying to be better about the endless scrolling, but it's just the access to information. Like if I did not have, if I was not able to look up information on the spot all the time, that's something I've grown too used to.
Yeah, even, you know, I don't use AI very often, but like when I do use it, I'm like, oh, but this was so easy. But I need it to become more more environmentally friendly before I dive into this more. Just for like gathering information, you know what I mean? Like I don't like using it for like generative stuff, but like gathering information, boy, it is getting better than Google quite fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you have to double check and triple check everything.
Yeah.
So have you ever been, if you're in a restaurant with your friends from, I don't know, from college or whatever, would you be the table that everyone was staring at? Or would you be the table giving the annoying table side eye?
Would I be? I'd probably be the side eye.
If you were with your college friends or something.
I don't know. It depends how much alcohol we've had.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. How about you?
I've definitely been the table that I think of one dinner in particular when there was a group of us, like, I don't know, like 10 or 12 of us or something. And we went to this Indonesian restaurant that I like, and they put us in the back room, which made sense in terms of, you know, having a big table. But then it was like this echo chamber, and the other tables in the room at one point started yelling at us because we were talking too loudly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But I like Mensa's point that bad stuff is also part of the good. I do have questions about this bitter and sweet game, though, because we see when Bardwaj is talking to Pin Lee, Bardwaj is saying, like, the sweet is thank you for coming to support me, and the bitter is about something that Bardwaj did, because Bardwaj was the one who was, like, misinterpreting things. And then when it's Garothan's turn, he says already something bitter that he did, the whole spying thing, like says right. Some drop some real knowledge. And then they still want him to say something mean about Mensa. Bardwaj didn't say anything mean about Pin Lee.
That's true. And so I don't understand the rules of this game, but I think they just needed a plot device there. Maybe they should have just written a criticism of Pin Lee into it so that it made a little more sense.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
So it's the backhanded compliment game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did notice that, by the way, when Bardwaj was like, I should not have read things the wrong way and said what I said to you to Pin Lee, Garothan looked a little taken aback. It made me wonder if he was thinking about whether or not to share his feelings with Mensa.
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess he does eventually.
Well, it seems like he's queuing it up. I see.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard you the first time. It cut out for a second. I thought you were talking about Rati with the other two. So no, I don't know anything about, even from the books, I don't know anything about.
No.
Yeah. So don't worry. That was not an unintentional spoiler, everybody.
No, yeah, this him seeming to have feelings for Mensa is new for at least as far as we've read. But we can see where it comes from after this scene.
Yeah, I think so. I really like this. I almost hope it's not romantic. Like, first of all, Mensa does not need another husband in her life, you know, like, yeah. does not need another partner in her life. But, you know, I think we have not enough, like, male, female, platonic buddy cop things in the world.
I don't think that this one is platonic on his side. I think it is on her side. I don't think it is on his side because of the whole acting jealous about, like, do you have feelings for SecUnit? Like, what? Do I have what?
but shows have gotten past that in the past, right? Like, I'm thinking of Schitt's Creek. I don't know if you're a Schitt's Creek fan.
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Stevie and David. I think that's a good example of, like, all right, there was some romantic tension, but we've moved past it and the characters work better as platonic. I think that would be fun in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with that too.
All right. You ready for the emergency evac?
Yeah, set us up.
Picking up in the aftermath of the Labibi head exploding, a now-mended Murderbot rushes the Preservation Ox team to pack the hopper so they can get out of there before Labibi's people arrive. They take the hopper to a patch of woods to hide.
So, like, Pinley's like, okay, who died and made the SecUnit our boss? And Ratsy's like, I think she did, and points to Labibi's corpse. And Murderbot says, what? I covered it.
Right.
Yeah. We see, they flinch from Murderbot. They realize everyone realizes in this episode, like, oh shit, Murderbot is always listening to us.
Yeah. And also that, like, Murderbot, as much as the guns work on the animals, they work on us.
Mm. Yeah. But I think, you know, I was thinking later in the episode, Mensa says it's easier for everyone if they think of you as a person who wants to help the way I do. And that was sweet. But I also think in some ways, when it comes to this spying stuff, it's easier to think of Murderbot as not a person. But, like, you know,
you think software. So?
Yeah, I mean, I'm less uneasy thinking about my software listening in all the time, which I know is happening, versus if there's, like, a human there listening in the whole time, because I trust that my software doesn't actually care.
Yeah, I always laugh when people are like, I won't own an Alexa. I won't own an Echo device because it's always listening to me, and they are holding their smartphone while they're saying that.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean?
Like, with Siri enabled to be always listening, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, like, exactly. Yeah, Apple so far has been better than Amazon on, like, data sharing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, that could change at any time. You know what I mean? Like, these places, they don't ever last like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But yeah, I understand, you know, Men says, like, you know, it's time for a softer approach Murderbot realizes it's time for a softer approach and puts down the helmet and notices that they respond better when they see Murderbot's human face and uses the word please. But then, like, unless you feel like dying, and Rati's face and shakes his, oh my God, Rati was making me laugh so much this episode.
I think that's so good. Like, the way that he almost gets it, or it almost gets it, and then just falls flat. Amazing. Yeah, like, amazing.
I mean from them, not from me. I mean from them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a backtrack.
Yeah. And Garothan, the animosity between Murderbot and Garothan is still there, and I'm kind of eating it up, but Garothan is totally on to Murderbot's quote unquote monitoring the perimeter. That's what it always says when it doesn't want to deal with us.
Right.
But question about Garothan. So Murderbot had time to repair itself, and Garothan didn't have time for more healing. Garothan was just, like, sitting around. Garothan should be sitting in the med bay the entire time and putting on fresh clothing. Like, why are we not pre-treating this situation?
I don't know.
Bardwaj was even like, get back in the med bay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Murderbot was saying it all along, and nobody listens to Murderbot. We've learned that. Nobody listens to Murderbot about anything.
What do you mean? Was saying what?
Murderbot had said earlier in the episode, right, how Garothan is like, oh, your temperature's elevated.
Oh, but this was after they left when it was too late.
That's true, but, like, they did nothing for it anyway.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I guess because Bardwaj says have more time in the med bay, so I guess Garothan did some time in the med bay, but, like, Garothan should be sitting in the med bay until the second they have to leave, in my opinion.
Right. So, do you think, Do you think it's just like an infection of the wound, maybe?
Yeah. I mean,
although that would take a long time to get to like collapsing time.
I mean, I guess maybe the bullet's still in there. I don't know if what kind of bullet it is. I'm not a doctor.
Only for organics, right? Like it doesn't pierce. It won't impact anything but organic material.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what Labibi said? I can't say her name seriously. I'm sorry. And I think that's funny.
It's a beautiful name.
This like terrible character, like this person who's doing terrible mm-hmm. things has the most ridiculous name. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. Hmm. We learn that the better sec units can mess with Murderbot's has a more primitive risk assessment module in comparison to them. So that'll come into play later. And yeah, I do have just some little questions. Like Bardwaj is upset about leaving data behind, but why would they not upload their data to a private drive and then erase that shit from Hublink or Hub System, whatever it's called?
Maybe there's like, all right, I'm headcanoning this, but maybe there's like a lock on the system, like you, like a final payment is due when you leave, and you can't export the data without the corporation's, like it's a read only.
Okay, all right, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. Yeah, and Rati, what were your feelings about Rati this episode?
He went from being one of my favorites to being kind of a played out tune of like, oh, all right, guy, you are just awkwarding it up. Like you don't know how to interact with
people. No, no. Although he kind of like helps with the mending later on, but he's still the one who's like trying hardest to make friends with Murderbot. And I have here in the notes, Mensa doesn't have to try. Like Mensa's definitely closer friends with Murderbot, but it's because Mensa just naturally is. And Rati's like, we're friends, right? We're friends, right?
Right.
It's funny. Yeah, he's trying to make Murderbot seem less scary to the other people, but is clearly scared himself.
Right.
And is pretending that's not the case. I love that interaction when Murderbot says, you would all be dead if I wanted to kill you. And the actor playing Rati, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with him from anything else, but he's doing brilliantly. Like the way he says cool without moving a single muscle on his face, and it's like frozen in this smile, but then his eyes are like collapsing in fear. Oh my gosh, it makes me laugh so much. Cool. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Physical comedy is fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just like I appreciate actors who can do interesting things with their faces like that to show complex emotional reactions to things.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think it has any regret for killing Labibi? Don't know. It didn't use that word exactly.
We could read it into the text.
He's trying. Yeah, he's headcanoning Murderbot's motivations.
That's true. And who among us isn't guilty of headcanoning?
Exactly.
These people are empathy machines, and you have to ask yourself, in what situations is that a strength, and in what situations does that put them in a lot of danger? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Labibi, that put them in a lot of danger.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I tend to gravitate more towards the more empathetic characters, which is why, yeah, why Garothan and Pinley are kind of my least favorite, although Garothan's growing on me, which is probably also the David Dastmalchian of it all. But yeah, I they're not wrong at times too.
Yeah, I mean,
hey everyone, David here. Wanted to tell you about a company that makes some really beautiful Middle Earth inspired products. Actually, I wish I had discovered OSHA slings when my daughter was little and I was using a lot of different baby slings and carriers. They sent me one of their Ancients of Gondor Ithildan baby carriers. Honestly, the design of this carrier is cool as hell. The quality is impeccable. It's a really smart design and super easy to use. I wish I had this when I needed it. I would have loved to show off my dad nerd cred at the time. But they also sent me a really nice blanket, the Misty Mountains Throw. And now that same daughter, she monopolizes it whenever she's on the couch. It's beautiful, just the right weight. It's brushed cotton, so it's breathable and keeps us really cozy. We've been having a lot of cold weather lately, so we're always fighting over who gets to use it. A little about Osha. They're a family-owned Scottish company. They've been handcrafting products since about 2010. Everything's ethically sourced and made in their solar-powered workshop. Check out their website. They've got a bunch of information about their sustainability practices. That's something that's really important to me. And they have this huge line of official Lord of the Rings products. They're making baby carriers, throws, scarves, mugs, tea towels, and the designs are stunning. Like, go check out the website right now. There's a link in the show notes. New customers get 10% off with the code LoreHounds. Go to oshaslings.com.
I think this is part of my worldview as I become an old man, has been to realize that, like, empathy is a strength, but in a world where not everybody is practicing it, and I say practicing because I do think it's a muscle you have to flex.
Mm-hmm.
In a world that not everybody's practicing it, you do need it both to have an eye on people's motivations when they're not being empathetic, and perhaps have a friend or two that is, you know, in the Macbeth style, like seeing people for their bad intentions because they feel less empathy, perhaps.
Yeah, but to add to that, it is true, I would say, through also this is something you have that's been studied in psychology. It is true that we tend to remember the negative things more and it will make us more suspicious. But overall, people will, when you give people the benefit of the doubt, when you, you know, give people second chances, that generally leads to better outcomes for the group than if you are immediately revert to suspicion and punishment. The carrot works much better than the stick.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I think that does work in a lot of cases. And then, but you know what, folks?
And then somebody ruins it. And then
If you need to set boundaries, you should set boundaries. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not bringing back the Last of Us apology debate.
I definitely didn't hate it as much as you guys.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the
debate. Oh, the apology debate. Oh, yeah. Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, you want to take a break?
Let's do it.
See you on the other side. We're back. Can you bring us to the Hopper, Alicia?
All right. Hopper hideout time. In their new hiding spot, the team struggles with their growing Murderbot trust issues while Garothan's health continues its downturn after getting shot in the knee by Labibi. And two of the local megafauna turn their ship into a squeaky mattress, leaving a couple clutches of eggs glued to the side of the ship. Finally, Rati and Mensa force the team, except Garothan, who opts out, to talk it out with Murderbot, who is getting really uncomfortable with all the attention. But just as it seems they're rebuilding the bridge of trust, one of those advanced sec units in black attack the group, using its ability to mask itself from Murderbot's threat assessment module. The enemy sec unit punches through and then explodes one of the egg bundles, and Mama or Papa megafauna monster comes back to chomp the sec unit in half, take the other egg sacs, and go. The team has survived these encounters, but they need to get Garothan medical help as he's now collapsed. They insist they're going back to the base, even if it's crawling with hostiles, and Murderbot reluctantly goes with them. The end. So, yeah, what did you think about, this was basically half the episode, a lot happened.
I know,
What did you think about this series of encounters? Any favorite parts?
I mean, it was gross, but I did think it was hilarious when they were like, they're not fighting. And I was like, oh no.
They're the other F word.
Oh no. It reminded me of when I was in Boy Scout camp as a child and two squirrels found the snacks that we had in the middle of the tent. That was an open tent. Like it was summer, so we kept the tent open. We weren't sure what they were doing exactly. And we were not happy about that. It was a repeat experience. At least the squirrels couldn't kill me.
Right. That's true. Or break your room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really like, I'm very curious. I guess I'm more like Arata in this, you know, where Arata is a curious space biologist. She's like, this is all very exciting. I want to study these gooey egg sacs with squiggling things inside. And I liked Murderbots. Frankly, I didn't find it any more revolting than what the humans do to each other, which fair.
Right. I mean, if you don't have any sex drive and you have no genitals even to hypothetically have a sex drive.
Yeah.
I think it would be a pretty gross thing to think about, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the asexual representation. It's not me, but I like that Murderbot is who Murderbot is. And yeah. definitely has some baggage about being viewed as a sex bot, as we heard again this episode. Like, why can't we stare at you? I am not a sex bot. Like, what's the deal with that? Yeah. Yeah. That seems to be coming from somewhere. I don't know if that's coming from what it's seen on the entertainment feeds or some repressed experience.
Dr. Alicia is like, tell me more about that.
Yeah, Labibi was definitely triggering that stuff.
Yeah, that didn't help. Didn't help to have the kiss.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as the megafauna monster sex, I thought that I am, like Arata, very intrigued by the planet and the animals that live there. They looked like two completely different species. So I want to know about this whole reproduction cycle now. But that lick of the window, when the second one came up and just like licked this slimy goo all over the window. No.
Yeah, I did not like that. And I did not like the eggs at all. That bothered me a lot. I don't want monster eggs on my ship. But yeah, I guess Murderbot was wrong. They should have left the eggs because it made their place protected.
Yeah, exactly. No, that made sense. And it made sense that it was, you know, they were attracted to the heat from the engines. Yeah, I like all of this. This is really science fiction, this show. You know, it's grounded in science, everything. So I appreciate
some of it.
I mean, it's science fiction, but it's grounded in science.
It's certainly more like hard sci-fi than Star Wars is.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. And Doctor Who, of course, which is Star Wars is more hard sci-fi than Doctor Who.
Well, Doctor Who, it depends on the writer of the era, because sometimes they're like very meticulous about like being close to like the theories. And then sometimes they're just like, I don't know, the paradoxes will largely work themselves out.
This season, I gave up on looking up the science terms because it was just gobbledygook.
Well, that's because RTD is like, he deliberately was like, we're going to make it more about magic. And I was like, please don't.
Yeah. But
that's all right. It's just not that show, you know? Okay, this is not a Doctor Who pod. I'm done complaining about that finale.
There's no magic in this. The Mensa points out that the company transport is due back in about a month, and Mensa thinks that they'll come looking for them if they don't turn it in by then. And I like that comes back again to that question of, you know, the company is evil, sure, it seems very much so, but also because they're motivated by financial interests, sometimes that protects this group, or could, but we don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to, you know, I was playing Magic the Gathering the other day, and this guy was playing a deck that was all about stealing cards from other decks.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the game, everyone relax. So But if you kill that player, all their cards disappear. That's like how that's one of the rules of the game. So he goes to me, he goes, I can't do any more damage to you or I'll lose all your cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's actually a good metaphor for like what's happening here, right? Is can't kill you totally because you might know where things are.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And also then they have to do that financial payout and they lose their equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think, okay, so Pin Lee says they're going to sue the entire corporation Rim. How do you think that might go? Do you think Pin Lee has any shot?
I think it will go poorly. And I think it's kind of like suing Disney, right? Like they'll send a lot of lawyers. They'll send an army.
Yeah.
But also I do like how that becomes sort of a dig by Murderbot. Where Murderbot goes, what are you going to do? Sue somebody? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like, exactly.
What are you planning, really?
And Pinley's like, it is listening. Well, duh. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on, because, you know, I was thinking also, you've been talking about this case with the wife of the cop in Massachusetts, is it?
Oh, Karen Reed?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she got acquitted.
Oh, she did? Okay.
On everything except an OUI, or it's basically a DUI. Which is fair, right? Because she did admit on camera that she drove drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But and she was blood tested, and she was still over the limit like hours later. But anyway.
But how much do you think in her case that the fact that this played out in front of the media influenced things?
I think that was true. That did influence it. But I think more than that, what influenced it was she had like an all-star team of lawyers that she paid millions to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Pinley's not getting that. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But media can play an influence.
I almost want to do a whatcha watching on that trial, because it was wild.
You should. You should. Yeah. I still, like I said before, I still love the animosity between Murderbot and Garothin. Like, I didn't indicate concern. I just stated a fact about the temperature rising.
Right. It's so stupid. They're so in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Will there, won't they? Not Garothin and Mensa. It's Garothin and Murderbot.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Murderbot in a non-sexual way, but they can have... They can have a romance.
I feel like Garothin might be interested in that kind of way too, though. You know what I mean? You never know.
Yeah, but if Murderbot's not, then it's off.
Right.
But I liked, yeah, the... In its
defense, I mean, Garothin might be okay with no sex. Just
right. Oh, just a romantic.
Yeah.
Or even, yeah, just a bromance.
Yeah.
Pinley says, in its defense, she was threatening to kill us. And Arata says, I don't think she would have. I think she was bluffing. And Garothin, pretty solid bluff.
Yeah, he's standing there with a hole in his leg. He's like, yeah, I think it was a strong bluff there.
Yeah, yeah. I felt pretty convinced that she would do harm when she was doing me harm. But okay, the moment that made me laugh out loud the most, even on my rewatch, was Mensa says, I don't think we could make it without sec units. And Arata says, yeah, because we'd be defenseless. And Pinley steps up, babe, I'm here. And then Rotzi steps up, so am I. And he makes these eyes. Oh my God, the things he does with his face are hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of good comedy in this episode. I think you're right. It is one of the funnier episodes. The reason I say episode 6 is still my favorite is that I don't think any moment has topped like the emotional like dissonance of him killing her and being like, I want to be the hero, and then he's just not.
Yeah.
That to me like is emblematic of the whole show.
Yeah. But I love that this one, it has, you know, the funny moments like I was just talking about, but it also had a lot of really emotional moments, like the first scene that we talked about, and also, you know, Mensa's questioning. She's like, it's not about whether we will leave the sec unit, it's about whether it will leave us, because it has this history of abuse. And then we see a Murderbot out in the woods talking about, I'm not half bot, I'm not half organic, I am one whole confused entity. And then what did you think of that scene where Murderbot's thinking about, like, what if I just watched media until my battery runs out and has like a hallucination of itself growing into a tree?
It's sad, but like I get it, right? Like, he's like, this just sucks, and like, I'm probably gonna be sold back into slavery after this.
Yeah,
or melted down, one or the other.
There's worse ways to go out than just chilling with nature and watching your shows.
I'm really not, I don't not get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. But again, you know, it's thinking about ending its existence. It's something else that Murderbot and Garothin can bond over in their bromance.
It's happening. Something's happening.
Yeah. Oh
boy.
Oh, by the way, when Garothin is, you know, asks Mensa whether she has feelings for Murderbot, which, first of all, like, okay, yeah, the jealousy is not logical, but Mensa is literally already married to other people. Like, what are we jealous of here? Right. But then Garothan has that moment where he says, oh, here he comes, it. Garothan's struggling with the pronouns, too, of Murderbot.
Well, we have that in common, because I have trouble calling a being an it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we find out Mensa's feeling guilt for killing the other sec unit with a mining drill. And I don't know if... It's hard to say. I have not ever killed a sec unit with a mining drill to save my sec unit. I don't know if I would struggle with guilt in the same way there, even though I'm miss empathy.
I mean, if you grew up in a society where sec units are considered, or, you know, I'm trying to think, what's the overall category, right? Constructs yeah. are treated as essentially humans, like, mm-hmm. they are beings, although we know that they're kind of second class citizens anyway, but treated more as people, I think you would feel badly. I mean, I think any kill, when you're not a killer, uh-huh. any kill is going to take something out of you.
But even if, you know, I'm not a killer, but even if someone were trying to kill, you know, someone I care about, a member of my group, something like that, I like to think I wouldn't hesitate to act, and I don't know how much I would struggle with the guilt, but I guess I think I'm being naive. Yeah.
I think you'd act for sure, and I think mm-hmm. intellectually you can justify it, but I just think, you know, yeah. with no experience in the matter,
right?
Like I think that I would still feel badly afterwards. Like, ending a life is not a joke.
No.
And I do think emotionally it's going to be hard to separate yourself from that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between the intellectualization of it. Like, sure, you can justify it, but the emotional experience is still going to be, like, plenty of things we do, we can intellectually say, like, I need to do this, but yeah. we don't like that we had to do it.
But that's where, I mean, that's definitely a break between Murderbot and Mensa, because obviously Murderbot has killed multiple entities or people or whatever in the course of its job, let alone whatever that flashback is we haven't heard anything about for a while. But Murderbot was like, I think Murderbot was kind of making a joke when saying about, you know, oh, unless you have a drill in your hand, and didn't realize that it would make Mensa feel bad and remind her of something that would upset her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, well, we don't have to worry about getting the bitter in with Murderbot. Murderbot right. will bring the bitter to the party.
Right. It's the sweet that's the problem.
Right.
Although we got that line, they were just trying to help, which didn't help, but as much as it pissed me off, I kind of appreciated it.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny. I think Murderbot, it's funny because Murderbot intellectually understands human bonds, but can't mm-hmm. feel them. Mm. He's having trouble feeling them.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like Amos in The Expanse.
Okay. Yeah, you know I mean? Love Amos. That's my favorite character from
The Expanse. But, like, this guy who considers himself sociopathic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of latches onto other people to give him a moral compass.
Exactly.
And I think that's similar to Murderbot here with Mensa.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I loved also the perimeter jokes throughout, and, like, at the end, Murderbot is, because this is right before the new sec unit, the other sec unit shows up, and Murderbot's like, oh no, it's right before the megafauna shows up, and Murderbot's scanning the horizon, like, something's up, and we hear, maybe it just needs some perimeter time. And Rati says, what even is the perimeter? Because it seems to vary.
Yeah, the perimeter is wherever Murderbot wants to walk.
Yeah, basically. But how do you feel about how it ended? They're going back to base. They're walking into the arms of the enemy, but I don't know what else they're going to do with Garothan's injury. So, like, I think I'll say in the books, there is a similar situation where they know they're walking into a trap, and I feel like this one is maybe more, offers a more compelling reason. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think this gives a good motivation, and it'll be fun to watch Murderbot, like, tirelessly defend Garothan, a guy he hates.
Yeah. Does right, he hate him or just is annoyed by him?
Why not both? No, I don't think he hates him. They took out a line from the book that I thought they should have left in, which was, I think you brought this up in the episode, which was, listen, I like them and they mm-hmm. seem to like you. So, right. so I'm going to protect you anyway.
Right. Yeah, he's part of the group. It's like, you know, we all have our either our real families or found families where there's like someone you're like, oh, but they're one of us, you know?
Right. Right.
And the bromance.
Let's name them right now. No, I'm kidding.
Murder.
Name thing. And shame.
Oh, I thought we were coming up with a couple name.
Oh, sorry. What was it?
Murder Thin.
Murder Thin? Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Gurabot? I guess Gurabot's more accurate.
I guess it could just be Girderbot. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We got to end this podcast because I can't make up any more names anymore. All right. Well, we've got three more weeks of Murderbot coming. Send your feedback to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com and get to the Discord server that you can find in the link tree in the show notes, where you can get forum style spoiler chats for each episode under current shows. You want to talk about what's going on the network and on the main feed?
Yes. So Supercast and Patreon those feeds have been quite busy lately. There's been, in addition to all the extra past show content, there was the recent Sony Spider Villainverse Power Ranking episode. We just recorded and will be released shortly the Wes Anderson Film Fest, and there's going to be for July we're doing a Val Kilmer Film Fest, so that voting's about to go live as well for subscribers. And subscribers also just got access to a 28 days and 28 weeks later podcast looking back on those two movies and talking about the nature of zombies in film and how this upended it and what that means and all of that. And there's going to be 28 years later in the public feed coming up very shortly. I saw it last night and I'm kind of obsessed right now. I loved it. And there's also going to be Ironheart coming up. And what else? Silmarillion Stories, I think.
Yes, I am recording with Marilyn early July, so that'll be out shortly after that. And plenty more to come. Somebody just reached out to guest on Silmarillion Stories, and we're going to have her on. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of good guests coming up.
Cool. All right, I'm excited. And check out the affiliates, of course. Nevermind the Music, Radioactive Ramblings, Rings and Rituals, Properly Howard, Wool Shift Dust, and the Star Wars Canon Timeline Podcast.
Yeah. Plenty of stuff going on over there, especially I know Properly Howard is now back on a season. So if you've been sleeping on Properly Howard, go back and check out Bacon Rap about Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, about a like it's a degrees of thing, I think, where it hops between different actors and who are connected through various movies.
That's pretty fun.
Listen to their draft episode. They explain it.
Okay. Yeah. They'll explain it better than we can. All right. Time to thank everybody. Our Discord server boosters, Aaron K, Tilo the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Duve71, Dina A, Tina, Lestu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, and Radioactive Richard, and our lore masters, Samarchin, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Adam S, Nancy M, Duve71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, Andre B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Lestu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K, Bobby C, our newest lore master, and Adrian. Thank you, everyone, for all your support. It helps us cover all these fun little shows.
Thank you. And remember, we can talk about this. We can talk about this.
I'm cutting you off. The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.